Well, praise the Lord. Tonight, we're going to continue on our theme of In His Service, and we are going to the tabernacle of Moses again, and we understand from the tabernacle of Moses that there are three sections, the outer court, holy place, and holy of holies, and they represent those qualifications to be in the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. And the second heaven that we have already stated very clearly is represented by the holy place. And the entrance into the holy place is indeed by five pillars. And those five pillars represent the five ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, as well, of course, as the the various offerings that one has to submit to and have worked out in one's life, being the thought of loving the Lord with all our heart, loving our neighbor as ourself, experiencing the peace of God and dealing with sin in our life. But when we enter the holy place, you know, this holy place is the place of service. Only the priests were permitted to enter into it. And we've already seen in the table of showbread that there was a crown on that table representing the candidacy of those in the holy place being kings and priests unto the Lord. Now, we have looked already at the thought of the table of showbread, which speaks of Christ, the bread of life, being broken to feed the multitudes, and we in turn must become broken bread to feed the multitudes. And then also we looked last night at the candlestick, which depicted the seven anointings, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, Spirit of strength, Spirit of knowledge, and His treasure, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And one of the things that we sought to make very clear last night was this, that people can have some of those anointings, like we could say King Solomon, you know, had the spirit of wisdom, but he didn't have God's treasure, which was the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is a restraint and causes one to be of quick understanding in the things that please God and the things that, you know, He disapproves of. And because of the lack of that anointing, you see, King Solomon, although he was renowned for wisdom and having the spirit of wisdom, and in fact he was called a wise man by David, yet, you see, he failed in the end because he did not move on to receive the treasure of the Lord, which is the fear of God. And it is so important to understand these things, because, you see, it's not how we begin, it's how we end life. How we end life. You see, how we end. And I think that's brought out so clearly in life itself. You know, a race, well, it's not so much how one starts, it's how one finishes. And does one finish the race, you see? And whether it's athletics, whether it's a car race, yacht race, or plane race, or whatever it is the finish that counts, that we want to end well. And Dr. Karam gave us some carvings from Indonesia, and it said, end well, end well. And we want to indeed end our life well. And that is why it's so important, you know, to cry out for wisdom, to cry out for understanding, cry out for knowledge. And if we do that, you know, we will indeed be a candidate to receive the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which promotes holiness and promotes a very circumcised life. Now then, we are coming to the third aspect of the ministry, and that is the altar of incense. Now the altar of incense is placed just before the veil. The veil that separates the holy place from the holy of holies. In fact, it's thought that Paul almost dismisses the veil in Hebrews and brings a golden censer into the holy of holies. And in fact, the very altar is called most holy unto the Lord in Exodus 30 and verse 10. It's most holy. And this altar, you know, speaks of prayer. And on this altar, there was burnt incense. Now, I want to look at this incense with you because it characterizes the person who ministers at the altar of incense, the altar of prayer. First of all, stakti, which is myrrh, which means meekness, meekness. And these qualities must be worked in us that we can be, shall I say, those who call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it's very interesting in Jeremiah 15 that in a time of judgment, God said, even if Moses and Samuel, those who called upon my name, I would only hear them. I would not hear them for others. And Moses, you know, was known as the meekest man in all the world. And also Samuel had those gracious characteristics. And meekness is very important. Meekness virtually means spirit controlled, spirit controlled. In other words, we pray the prayers that God wants prayed, not our own prayers, but those that he wants prayed. And then the next one is onyture, which is basically that piece of bone that holds together the two shells of a muscle. And if that is broken, then the muscle is defenseless against its predators. And it speaks of life, pouring out of one's life in prayer. And we'll touch on that a moment again. And then galbanum. And that speaks of tears. There's often many tears, either inward tears or outward tears, that are shed at this altar of incense. And then another constituents of this incense is frankincense. Frankincense. And frankincense means faith. You know, in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all those that come to him. In other words, tonight, we are going to pray, and we have to have faith. You see, we have to be submissive. We have to indeed cry out to God. But we have to have faith to believe that what we are asking for, he is a rewarder of those things. Now then, I just want to touch on, before we get into healing, I want to touch on something else that God has been speaking to us. And it's concerning the nations. Now, we have said before that God has spoken to us and confirmed it in many ways, that God has called Zion to have a Bible school in every nation. Well, about 10 days ago, on Sunday morning, God challenged us in a very real sense to ask him for the nations that he would either want us to go to or give to or pray for. And we had some very wonderful, you know, responses, people saying, well, God has given me these nations or God has given me this nation. And One nation in particular was Finland that Sister Suzette had. And we all prayed, you know, in our collective prayer meeting for Finland, crying out, "Oh God, you know, give us Finland or we die." This sort of prayer, you know, is not just verbalizing a little desire, but it comes out more in Romans 8, verse 26, where it speaks of the Holy Spirit making intercession through us with groanings which cannot, you know, be uttered. And he prays according to the will of God. And we had an intense agony for many days for Finland. And then through our webmaster, we got an email from Finland. We cried out, "We don't know anybody in Finland. Oh God, do something. Get somebody from Finland to contact us." And we've just received an email from Finland asking for some of our books. In other words, we've got a contact, you see. And that's a remarkable thing, you see, because we've had no contact whatsoever with Finland. You see, God answered that prayer. But oh, the agony in prayer. You know, it was like John Knox, "Oh, give me Scotland or I die. Oh God, give us Finland," you see. And of course, we're getting other nations. But I want to encourage you. And you see, tonight, I want to challenge you, even when I'm speaking, that you will ask God, "Lord, what nation do you want to lay upon my heart? What nation do you want to give me responsibility for? For building, perhaps, in the Spirit. For building, perhaps, through prayer or otherwise, or going, you see, to that nation. Oh God, please lay upon my heart a nation or nations that I will pray regularly for, that you will open up to Zion," because we have approximately just over 25 nations at the moment with science schools or affiliate schools in. But, you know, there's about 220 nations in the world today. And we want to indeed fulfill God's commission to us. We want a Bible school in every nation. And so I want to challenge you. You know, the altar of incense. Come before the altar and cry out to God for the nation that he lays upon your heart. And even tonight, as I speak, I want you to ask the Lord even now, "Lord, give me that nation." God is starting to move, you see. Move. We heard Pastor Paul Karam last night, you know, speaking of the urgency in Central America, how God is opening and opening doors there. And we want to have from Canada to Panama, amen? And from Canada to Panama. And we lack Canada, Belize, and Panama, but we've got all the other countries in between. And, of course, we got into Southern America, and now I've just heard that we have a Bible school in Brazil. And thank God for that. We've got one in Cuba, you see, an affiliate in Cuba. And we're looking to other Caribbean nations, you see, as well as others. And just recently, Cambodia has opened up to us. We have a Bible school there. You see, God is moving. It's God who gives the commandment and God who fulfills his call. But we have got to be available. And tonight, ask the Lord, you know, what nation do you want me to pray for, you see? And I've got a little nation tucked away somewhere. Well, a couple of them, actually, that I've got to pray for, you see. And believe God to open up those nations to Zion. All right. Now then, the point that I want to bring out is this. The altar of incense, you know, is giving out all. It's spoken of, you know, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 as the travail of one's soul. The travail. You know, it sort of consumes you. It consumes your life. You know, the Spirit of God comes upon you in intercession. Sometimes you cannot stand. Sometimes you just, you know, hold your inward beings almost with your hand because of the groanings within. It's a birthing of life in those places that which God lays upon your heart. It is a travail. And you see, there's a wonderful promise for Zion in the realm of travailing, because in Isaiah 66 and verse 8, it said, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And you see, it is the travail of the Spirit. You know, in the natural, when a lady, you know, travails in childbirth, she brings forth the child. And you see, when that travail comes upon you, that travail signifies something is going to be birthed. And a travail cannot be self-induced with a lady, and neither can it be self-induced in the Spirit. But it is the Spirit of God that comes upon us and begins the travail when it's time, as it were, for something to be birthed in that nation, for Zion. And so I want you to come to the altar of incense. What a privilege it is to come to this most holy of the furniture, with the exception of the Ark of the Covenant, you know, in the holy place. You know, people say, well, I'm not called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be a prophet, evangelist, pastor, no, nor teacher. But you know, in heaven, there are vast numbers of thrones. And although I've seen the thrones, but not this particular vision, somebody else had it. But the Lord speaking to this brother who had this revelation, he said, look at all these thrones that must be filled, that must be filled. And he pointed to a number that were filled with women. And he pointed out, the Lord pointed out, these women are sitting upon these thrones because of their prayer life. Because of their prayer life. You see, the altar of incense is essentially prayer. And whilst you might say, well, the bread of life might pass me by, or the candlestick, but the altar of incense is the highest one. It actually is the highest of the furniture in the holy place. And it's called most holy. And so you see, I want to invite you, you know, to come in the Spirit to the altar of incense. The altar of incense. It's there that one travails. It's there, you see, that one has the fulfillment of birthing the will of God for his particular purpose at that time. Now, I want to consider one's attitude in prayer. One's attitude in prayer is very important indeed. You see, how do we approach God? God is our Father. How do we approach our natural Father? Now, our natural Father might have something that we are entitled to, if I could say that. It might be some clothing, it might be some sports gear or something like that. But we are entitled to it because our Father has bought this particular piece of gear or this book or whatever it is for us. And he has it. He has it. And we are coming to him. Now, how do you approach your father? How do you approach it? You know, a son would probably say, "Oh, Dad, I know you've got this for me. Thank you so much. Can I have it?" You know, he comes with appreciation, doesn't he? He comes with a thought, "Oh, Dad's bought this for me. He's paid a price for this." Oh, he comes with a sense of gratitude, with humility. "My dad has bought this for me." And now you come to Dad and say, "Oh, thank you." It might be a bicycle. It might be a new bicycle, you see. You know, Dad has got it. Dad has got this for you. He's paid a price for you, and he intends to give it to you. How do you come before your father when he has paid a price, bought a gift for you, you know it's for you? How do you approach him? How do you approach him? You see, it's very important, this, because it's how people come to the Lord in prayer. You know, some years ago, there was a group who taught from Isaiah, "Command ye me." Well, they had got the sentence all wrong. God was saying, "Are you commanding me?" You see? And yet they were teaching that we should command God. Now, no son goes up to his father and say, "Look, I want that bicycle. You know, you've bought it, it's mine. I want it now." Well, you can imagine how Dad responds to that kind request. But you know, many come to the Heavenly Father in exactly the same way. They demand something from him. And that is why I want us to be very careful tonight in the thought of coming to the Lord. Coming to the Lord. You know, he has purchased healing for us. There is no question about that whatsoever. He has purchased healing for us. He paid a tremendous price for our healing. Tremendous price. He gave his own beloved son for our healing. And it says in Isaiah 50, verse 6, speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I gave my back. I gave my back. I gave my back." The Father indicated to the Son that the price of the healing was his back. And by those stripes, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, we are told we are healed. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 onwards speaks the fact we were healed by those stripes. So the Father has paid a tremendous price for our healing. But how do we come to the Lord? You see, how do we come to the Lord? We know, you see, that he has paid the price for our healing. There is no question of that. But how should we approach him? How should we approach him? You know, there should be that tremendous gratitude that a son has as he looks at that bike that his father has bought for him. His eyes sparkle. You know, there's joy in his heart, and his mouth is probably watering. you know, salivating at the thought of jumping on that bike. But the Father still has that bike. The Father has bought the bike for the Son. But how does the Son get the bike? You know, it is through thanking the Father and say, oh, thank you, Dad. Oh, it's a wonderful bike. May I have it now? You see, that is the attitude, you see. And what is the attitude of the Father? When he's bought the bike for the Son, his delight is to take him out on his first bike ride, you see. But it's how the Son says. You know, some have not been well trained and they come up and say, yeah, give it to me now, you know. The Father's almost saying, you don't get it, you see. But you know, so many of us as Christians, you know, when we want things from God, he has already paid the price for what we want. And he desires to give it to us. We must understand this, the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. He has bought at a very great price and cost to himself our healing. And so it's something he wants to give us. You know, somebody had a vision in heaven and an angel was taking him to a certain, shall I call it a building? A building in heaven, and the angel took him in and he showed him all parts of the human body. And the angel said, look, these are all available. New hearts, new bones, new everything. In other words, here in this, I don't know if I can call it a warehouse in heaven, but anyway, in this building, you know, there are all these parts of the human body. And they're created, you see, for those on earth. Those in heaven don't need them. It's those on earth. But you see, we've got to realize they're available. But it's how we ask. How we ask. And I want you to be conscious of how a son is going to get that bike. You know, first of all, he looks at it and is overwhelmed with it. And, well, sons don't cry, but, you know, he's overjoyed. And then he says with all humility and gratitude, Lord, may I have it? You know, Father, may I have it? And he says it with faith, because he knows the Father has bought it for him. He knows the Father has paid the price for him. He knows the Father wants to give it to him. And so as we look at this thought, you know, of prayer for healing, you know, there are certain things, you know, how we come. We come, you know, with that perfume of meekness, you see. Oh, Lord, give it, you see. And then the thought is this, too. We must believe. We must believe. We must believe. That is. But then there's often a contest, you see, for that bike. Perhaps it's not a very good illustration now, but it's almost as though somebody's in between, you see. Somebody doesn't want us to have that bike. And then there is a cry, oh, Dad, let me have it. Don't let somebody else have it, you see. Don't let anybody block me from that. But you see, with healing, it's just like that bike. The Lord has purchased our healing. And he wants to give us that healing. And sometimes there is the necessity for a consistent crying out to God, please, 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 release that healing that I need. Release that healing I need. You know, healing comes in many ways. I had need of a healing some little while ago, and you know, the angels of Zion were standing there, and what I'm going to say is quite contrary to what I've been preaching at the moment. But, you know, Sister Suzette, you know, being a nurse, and she's conducting me through all these hospital things, and you know, they asked me, are you allergic to anything? I said, yes, nurses and these pinpricks, you see. But anyway, and here I had to go for another examination, and the doctor felt I should have an operation, and then Suzette gets a call to be a juror in Elmira, and I said, well, honey, just get out of it. You know, I need you. And she said, well, she said, I've got out of it twice before. They won't let me get out of the third one. And here it is on a Monday, and I've got an appointment in the afternoon, and I got to see these doctors without Suzette, because Suzette talks to them, you know, their language, and they understand. They don't understand mine. But anyway, there we are, you see. And I'm very upset, you see, that Suzette is down in the jury room and I'm here. I've got to go in the afternoon, and she tells me there's four cases to be heard. It'll probably take the whole week. And then, you know, the seven angels that govern the fellowship of govern here were standing in front of me. And I wasn't very pleasant. I said, look, you fellows know how to run here. You do a very good job. But I said, doesn't your authority go as far as Elmira, and can't you do something there? You see, and I was thinking, if you know, we shall judge angels and all that, and I wasn't very happy with them. And then the phone rings at 9 o'clock, and, you know, it's me. It's me is Suzette, you see. It's me. I said, what are you doing? Phoning from the courtroom. Oh, no, she said. The judge came in and said all the cases had been dealt with before, and I'm free. I said, praise the Lord. Go to Dunkin' Donuts and we will celebrate. She said, I'm already there. And she said, what do you want? But and then here are these angels still standing. Now, I feel very bad about this. I said, well, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I am very sorry, you see. No, I'm really sorry, you see. And I'm looking at them, and one goes and slaps me on the back and says, you're healed. I didn't argue, you see. And then when I saw the doctor, he said, well, there's no need for an operation. You seem to be perfectly all right. I said, yeah, I didn't explain what happened. But but the point is this, you see, there is healing. There is healing. We've heard about the marvelous healings at Tuxpan. We're going to hear the marvelous healings of what happens tonight. Amen. And it is the thought, you know, of faith, you see, of faith. We come by faith. And we believe that as we ask in all humility, oh, please, Lord, heal me. Please, Lord, glorify your name. Lord, you know I need healing. It is in that attitude, you see, that the Lord will respond. And as we do it as a son would address his father, then indeed we will get it. We do not demand from God. No. He is God the Father, and when I had this experience a little while ago of, you know, realizing that soon I must go to heaven, you know, I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ a number of times, I've seen the Holy Spirit, and here I'm thinking, but there is God the Father, and he controls everything. And I was saying to the Lord, you know, Will you be pleased to present me to the Father so that he can tell me the things that I have to change, you know, so that when I do go, you know, he will be pleased with me. And, you know, I got a lot of help from Habakkuk, you know, sitting on his watch to hear what one would say when I'm reproved. And I really had faith, I expected to be taken up, presented before the Father, and him telling me this, that, and the other. But in reality, what happened was it was like a cylinder of light from heaven. It came down to my armchair. And, you know, I saw the throne of the Father, or the back of the throne of the Father. And he stepped off the throne, and he started telling me, you know, what he was like. And so I knew that he started off by saying, I am the Father. And I knew that he wanted me to be a father, you see. And so it went on, and he said, I love all my children. And what we heard, you know, last Wednesday from Pastor Tucker, you know, that a pastor must set his love upon every member of the congregation, you know, to fulfill that. But the thought is this, you see, he is the Father. He is the Father. And then he went on and said, I love all my children. I love all my children. And so you see, as Paul says, we are loved of the Father. We are loved of the Father. And so it's not him that's holding back, but we have to come to the altar of incense and worship him and say, oh Lord, please, you have purchased that healing for me. May you release it tonight, that I will be every whit whole, that you will release it, Lord, that, oh God, I can glorify you, I can get strength, and I can go on with you. We've heard of these marvelous miracles in Tuxpan. I believe that God wants to have a testimony tonight of glorifying his name, you know, by healing tonight. See, our attitude, oh, please, Father, can I have that healing that you've purchased for me? Oh, Lord, I know you love me. And I'm sure that I saw many just trying to put things right, you know, so that nothing, you know, shall I say, hinders the healing stream in our life. Oh, Lord, please, may I receive that healing tonight that I so desperately need. You have bought it for me. May I have it, you see. And in James, it tells us how we should go. That if we are sick, then we call for the elders of the church. And in a moment or two, we're going to ask the senior pastors to come up here. And Sister Suzette has oil there, little oil cups for each and every one of you. And you take that oil cup and you stand in a line, please, along here. And then Pastor Tucker will lead us. Amen. You know, there's this beautiful scripture, Psalm 103. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Well, are all our iniquities forgiven? We don't have any problem there, do we? What we've done, if we've done anything wrong, we go to him and say, oh, Dad or Father, forgive me. And the forgiveness is there. Like we forgive one another. If there have been offences, we forgive, we forget. It's a new day. And yet it says in the same manner that he healeth all our diseases. And so tonight, when Pastor Tucker comes, we're going to invite you, those of you who need healing, that you will come, you know, in faith. come to your Heavenly Father to receive that gift of healing that you need. Amen.